الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من سلك طريقا يلتمس فيه علما سهل الله له طريقا إلى الجنة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has graced us and blessed us by granting us the opportunity to participate in this first gathering. Inaugurated at the Madrasa Darul Arqam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant it acceptance, grant the Madrasa acceptance, grant the founders acceptance, grant the Asatidha and the students acceptance, and grant all of us the acceptance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this madrasa a center from which hidayah will spread throughout the world. Ilm is the foundation of deen. Ilm is the basis of deen. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned ilm in the very first revelation He revealed to His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And if I may say, the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discussed in these first verses is ilm. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. The main theme of these initial verses of the Quran is nothing but ilm. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala says, "Inna hadhal ilma deenun." Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala quotes him in his Sahih, "Inna hadhal ilma deenun." Indeed, this ilm is deen. So deen is ilm, ilm is deen. If ilm is correct, deen is correct. If ilm is incorrect, deen is incorrect. If ilm is complete, deen is complete. If ilm is incomplete, deen is incomplete. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed success of this world and the hereafter in deen and deen only. The more complete the deen, the more the success. And the less complete it is, the less the success. And the completeness and incompleteness of deen depends upon the completeness and incompleteness of ilm. So now we can conclude that the success of this world and the hereafter depends on ilm. Ilm. So my friends, these makatib, the part-time madaris, the evening madrasas, and the madaris, the full-time madrasas, they play a very vital role in safeguarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These madaris and these makatib are fortresses where deen is safeguarded. All of us who are sitting in this gathering at this precise moment, we all come from different backgrounds as far as deen is concerned. There are some who may be affiliated to madaris, they are teaching in madaris, or they are learning in madaris. Some affiliated to masajid, they are a'imma, khutaba. Some affiliated to da'wah and tablighat. Some affiliated to Muslim schools, charities. We all come from different backgrounds. But you will not find a single person who is sitting here who has not passed through the system of madrasa. Whatever we build on later on in life, the foundation is this maktab, this madrasa. It is these makatib, the evening madaris, that prepares the raw material even for the Darul Ulooms and the madaris, full-time madaris. Without these makatib, these part-time madrasas, these evening madrasas, these two and a half hour per day madrasas, Darul Ulooms will not be successful. If you study the Western world, Darul Ulooms are very successful in the UK, not so successful in USA, not so successful in other parts of Europe. What is the reason? What is the underlying reason? The underlying reason is, in the UK, the system of madaris is very strong, the makatib, the evening makatib. And in other parts of the Western world, the system of makatib is not in its place. Those of us who, after growing up, engage in da'wah and tabligh work, or end up in the khanqahs, in the company of the mashayikh, or in other dini activities, what is our basis of this interest? If we in our young days did not attend maktab for 2 hours daily, there would have been no foundation for the other dini interests that we have in our later lives. When we grow up, my friends, because the maktabs are 2.5 hours on a daily basis, and children from the age of 5 to age of 11, 12, 13 attend these makatib, to us, they are very insignificant. Their role is insignificant. Their service is insignificant. We do not realize how important these makatib are. It is for this reason I have mentioned that alhamdulillah we have been graced and we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are sitting here today in Madrasa Darul Arqam in its opening gathering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all, accept the madrasa, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this madrasa a beacon light for not only the students who come here, who will come here, but the whole of Preston, whole of greater Manchester County, and the whole of UK, whole of Europe, and the whole world, inshallah. Ilm is very important. The first point I would like to emphasize is, ilm is very important, and we need to give ilm its due importance. If ilm was not important, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, these great personalities, they would not have dedicated their lives for ilm. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullahu ta'ala, in his old age was one day seen walking on the streets by somebody with papers in his hands and inkpot and pen. So the person who saw him said, "Ila mata ibn Hanbal? O ibn Hanbal, now you have become a muhaddis, you have become a faqih, you have become an imam, you have a very large following, and you are still walking around in search of knowledge. Ila mata? Until when, O ibn Hanbal? When are you going to retire from this work?" The culture in the time of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, the pious predecessors, was after graduating, after reaching a stage where one can be classed as an alim, they would begin teaching, but with teaching they would continue acquiring ilm. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he acquired ilm from 1,080 shuyukh. And his biographers have recorded that he did not leave a single important city that existed in the whole Islamic world at that time. Baghdad, Basra, Kufa, Medina, Makkah, Naisapur, wherever he was able to go. And he himself says that he was born in Bukhara. And Baghdad is very far from Bukhara. He himself says that I myself cannot remember how many times I have traveled to Baghdad. So it wasn't that he left Bukhara once, he traveled to Baghdad, and in those days it used to take months to travel. And he reached Baghdad and he stayed there for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, acquired ilm from the mashayikh there and content. No. He said, I myself cannot remember how many times I have entered Baghdad, I have traveled to Baghdad. 1,080 mashayikh, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Imam Muhammad rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the top students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, and from the top two students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi. He was fortunate to be the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. What more did he want? And in the time of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was recognized by Abu Hanifa himself. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala was recognized by all the Aimma. The ulama have said that those people who reject the status of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala can belong to either of two categories. Either he is jahul or he is hasood. Either he is ignorant or he is victim of jealousy. These are the only two categories who will reject the status of Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala. Because the people of the 20th century or the 19th century or the 18th century did not give him the title of Al-Imamul Adam. This title was given to him by the people of his time. Al-Imamul Adam, the great Imam. So all the Imams were Imams, he was great Imam. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the greatest Imams that the Ummah has seen, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, An-nasu iyalun ala abi hanifata fil fiqh. When it comes to the ilm of Sharia, then we, the other Imams, we are all children, and Abu Hanifa is our father. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi spent a very long time in the company of Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala. Special attention of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi acquired. He was a very sharp student, very clever and very pious. Clever, sharp, understanding and pious, right from childhood. His father brought him to Abu Hanifa rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he requested that Imam Muhammad rahimahullahu ta'ala is granted admission. The young Muhammad, 15, 16, 17 years old. When he came for admission, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi asked, are you Hafiz of the Quran? Are you Hafiz of the full Quran? Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi said, no, I am not Hafiz of the Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said that one of the conditions of enrollment in my madrasa, in my durus, is that the student should be a full Hafiz. And you are still young, my son. Go complete the Quran and then you come. I will grant you admission. With a sad face, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi left with his father. Both father and son returned after a week again to request Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi for admission. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said that I have promised you admission. Complete your hifz, my son. So the father said he has completed his Quran. In 1 week, Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi memorized the whole Quran. And Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi tested him on the Quran. In our makatib, sabak, then sabak para, then door, every day for 3 years, 4 years. And even then, upon the completion of the Quran, it is natural. Children forget, it's a very large book. You have to spend another 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months in revision. Here in 1 week, he memorized the whole Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi tested him and it was 100%. After admission, one day, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, whilst teaching them fiqh, mentioned a mas'ala. And he said that if a person who is not matured, who is not baligh, who has not reached the age of puberty, if he performs Isha Salat, thereafter he goes to sleep, and before the break of dawn he becomes baligh, he reaches the age of puberty, then he will have to repeat his Isha Salat again. Because the Isha that he has performed, it was performed when he was not baligh, so the Isha he has performed is not fard. For him it was nafl. And because he has become baligh, whilst Isha time was still there before the break of dawn, so the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be directed towards him that now that you have become baligh, perform your Isha. Very delicate things in fiqh. Only the likes of Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, Ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, only the likes of them are able to understand. It is for this reason we cannot directly study the Quran and study the ahadith and try to come to conclusion as far as Islamic rulings are concerned. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen these people to deduce masail from Quran and hadith. Chosen people. Certain people were chosen to preserve the words of the Quran, the huffaz. Certain people were chosen to preserve the intonation and the correct pronunciation of the Quran, the Qurra. Certain people were chosen to preserve the words of the ahadith, the muhaddithin. And certain people were chosen to preserve the ulum of the Quran, the mufassirin. And certain people were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deduce masail, deduce and solve the problems of the ummah in their deen from what these groups have preserved. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said that if a person performs Isha Salat, he is not baligh. He goes to sleep, he becomes baligh in his sleep. When he wakes up, before the break of dawn, it is still Isha time, then Isha is compulsory. Even if he does not wake up, if he becomes baligh before the break of dawn, Isha becomes fard on him. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi was not aware of this masala. When he listened to this masala, to the surprise of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he saw young Muhammad get up from his place from the dars and walk away and return again after 15 minutes. It was very unusual in those days. The students had so much liking for ilm. We find coming to the madrasa burdensome, ilm burdensome, sitting in the company of the ulama burdensome, durus burdensome. Why? Because we have not tasted the taste of ilm. They used to find enjoyment, enjoyment, enjoyment. Ilm, ilm, ilm. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi was once asked by somebody, "Ya ayyuhal imam, O imam, when you hear something new for the first time, hadith for the first time, tafsir for the first time, a new mas'ala for the first time, how do you feel?" So he said that when some new academic item enters my ear, my ears find so much enjoyment at that moment that it is my desire that I wish from head to toe I was nothing but ears. So the whole body could experience the enjoyment that my ears are experiencing. Somebody asked him that how eager are you as far as ilm is concerned? How eager to seek ilm, to look for ilm? He said, take an example of a lady who is granted a child after many years. A woman, Allah grants her children after many years, child after many years. And this child is still in its young age, infancy, and somebody goes away with this child. So imagine with what zeal, eagerness, with which talab this woman will walk around the streets looking for this child. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says, I look for ilm with more eagerness than this woman. Lazzat of ilm. So much lazzat they had, because they knew what ilm was. So it was not possible for the students in those days to stay absent from the madrasa, maktab. Nowadays people, the parents have not tasted the taste of ilm. So they do not know what their children will miss out on if they were made to stay absent. So they themselves will intercede on behalf of the children. For petty excuses, flu, headache, going to London, wedding, funeral, petty excuses. And look at the condition of our ulama. Abu Yusuf rahimahullahu ta'ala, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullahu ta'ala, another top student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that from the time I took enrollment in the durus of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, until Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi passed away, not a single day did I stay absent from my class. And he says that I used to live in a different locality. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi used to live in a different locality. The masjid of my locality was different from the masjid of his locality. Never did I perform salat, fajr salat, in any masjid other than the masjid of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, lest I may miss something. He may say something immediately after the fajr salat, commenting on the mistake of the imam or a muqtadi, and I may miss that ilm. So I used to make sure that even on the day of Eid, I performed fajr salat in the masjid of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And he further says that one day I was sitting in the dars of Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and somebody came, tapped me on my shoulder and whispered in my ear that your child has passed away. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My friends, these people have not become luminaries just like this. Two things were in their lives, ilm and amal. Ilm and amal, both. Ilm 100%, amal 100%. Not that ilm was 99% and amal was 100%. Or amal was 99%, ilm was 100%, both. Look at this situation of Abu Yusuf and Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, at this stage was not an old man. Maybe in his late 20s, early 30s. Most early 40s. And somebody whispers that your child has passed away. On one side is ilm, on the other side is amal. He's torn between two worlds. Ilm, amal. Ilm, if I leave this gathering, ilm will go away. I will miss the dars of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and I cannot let go of ilm. On the other side, amal, if I say, tell the family to wait for me until this dars is over, then the desire of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, burial should take place as soon as possible. Nowadays, for petty reasons, we delay janazah. We are waiting for people to come from London. We are waiting for somebody to come from Dubai. Somebody has applied for his visa and the outcome is going to take place today at 3 o'clock. We are waiting for the answer. When my late father, rahimahullah ta'ala, passed away, I was teaching at Darul Uloom Berri. And at 9 o'clock, I was teaching Hidayatul Nahu and Maulana Ali Sahib. He came into the room, he rushed into the room and he said, "Your father is seriously ill and you need to go home." They did not tell me that my father had passed away, because they did not want to give me a shock. He was healthy, alhamdulillah, old but healthy. So I reached home at about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And it was a shock for me that my father had passed away. So the ulama there who had gathered, the ulama of Leicester, they asked me, "What is your opinion regarding janazah?" So I said, "If it is possible, it should take place today." And they did not expect me to say that. They thought I will say janazah will take place tomorrow, because it's already 1 o'clock. And in order for the janazah to take place that day, the janazah had to be in the graveyard before 2:30. Now, alhamdulillah, it's very flexible. So I said, "No, if possible, janazah will take place today." So some people, some ulama, some leading people of Leicester, my relatives also, they said that, assuming that the time is very short and you will say janazah will take place tomorrow, that is what we have been indicating. Not saying openly, but that is what we have been indicating, and 90% of the people from outside Leicester will not be able to participate. So the answer I gave to them was that, just to facilitate the people from outside Leicester, I do not want to delay the entry of my father into Jannah. I said, "If possible, janazah will take place today." And we rushed everything and we made sure, alhamdulillah, that the janazah was in the Qabristan before 2:30. And till today, I do not regret. Why? Because the more the gathering, the more the chances of the deceased being forgiven. Alhamdulillah, I believe that, because the ahadith say so. More bigger the gathering, more the chances of the deceased being forgiven. But on one side is the large gathering, on the other side is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where lies more hope in forgiveness? The gathering or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The wish of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The fuqaha have stated, my friends, that on Friday, if somebody passes away in the morning, and the deceased could be buried before Jummah Salat, and if the relatives delay the janazah to until after Jummah, with this hope that the congregation will increase, the fuqaha have said it is makruh to do that. It is makruh. It will be more profitable for the deceased to be buried before Salatul Jummah, not after Salatul Jummah. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi was torn between two, ilm on one side, amal on the, if I say that wait for 2-3 hours. So what did he say? He said, he whispered. On one side he was listening to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's dars, and very quickly he took the decision, spontaneously. And he said, "Give my message at home to my relatives, that prepare the deceased for burial, and as soon as the deceased is ready for burial, perform Salatul Janazah and buried, I will come after the Durus of Abu Hanif." And when Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi reached his home, his child was already buried. No absence. Why? Because they understood the importance of ilm. Like, I will not be absent from my factory because I understand the importance of wealth. If my employer is paying me 15 pounds per hour, 1 hour absent means 15 pounds gone. And I cannot let go 15 pounds go. This is how the ulama of the time, the students of that time, so ilm. So Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi never absent, and he walked away. And he returned after 10. It was astonishing, surprising for Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, that one of my best students, why did he walk away from the dars today? So after the dars, he said, "Muhammad, come here. Why did you walk away from the dars today for 15 minutes? Where did you go?" He said, "The mas'ala that you mentioned, the same scenario took place with me last night. And because I had performed Isha Salat before going to sleep, and then I became baligh during the night, I thought I was absolved of the responsibility of Isha. So I had not performed Isha. But when I learned from your gathering, the thought entered my heart that if I remain in this gathering, ilm, this amal is not fard ain. And performing salat is fard ain. If I die before getting up from this majlis, I will be questioned for Isha Salat. So I walked away from your gathering and I absolved myself of the responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm and amal, both things were in their lives. Ilm and amal. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. So this Imam Muhammad, this great Imam, Imam Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala, spending the time in the company of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah, the like of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. But it is recorded in his biography that after the demise of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he spent a considerable amount of time in the company of Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and thereafter, and he was recognized as the Imam by Abu Hanifa himself. Despite that, after the demise of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he left Kufa and he went out in search for ilm. He met the other great personalities who may have been below in status as far as Imam Muhammad was concerned to Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. Despite that, no, he went. And he acquired him. There is a great muhaddis who left his home at the age of 13, 14, 15 in quest for knowledge. And when he returned home after quest for knowledge, our students in this day and age who study in Darulums, they find 2 weeks in Darulum difficult. And not even 2 weeks, 12 days. Because after holidays you go on Monday, and after 2 weeks, after fortnight, you can come back home on a Saturday. So even 12 days seem very difficult, and they look for excuses to come back home in between. And they are ready on Friday to come back home on Saturday. And if for any reason they were told that this weekend you cannot go, you should look at the gloom on their faces, the sadness on their faces. This muhaddis left in quest for knowledge at the age of 15, 16. Not married, not settled down, nothing. He had to think about his whole life. He left at the age of 15, 16, and when he completed acquiring ilm, and when he returned to his hometown again, he was 60 years old. And after reaching the age of 60, he settled down, he started teaching, doing the khidmat of deen, he got married, children, house, everything after the age of 60. So Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, ila mata ibn Hanbal, until when, O ibn Hanbal, until when are you going to retire? Teach now, learning for how long? Ila mata. Allama ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi alayhi had authored 250 books, more than 250 books himself. He is the author of more than 250 books himself. In those days, you could not find published books. So, if you wanted to benefit from a book, you had to write it down or pay somebody to write it. It is recorded in his biography that in total, 250 plus, the books that he wrote with his own fingers, with his own pen, what is the total of the books? 20,000. He wrote 20,000 books in his life with his own hand. Oh, I like this book. Can I borrow it for 5 days? And he wrote it down so that he can keep it in his library. 20,000 books. And some voluminous. Allama, we are talking about the people of the past. Let's talk about some of the contemporary ulama. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi, 50, 60, 70 years, 80 years ago. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi. He belonged to the time of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Maulana Fakhruddin Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who was at one time the teacher of Bukhari Sharif in Darulum Deoband. He says, one day I was sitting in my room in the boarding of Darulum Deoband. I was in the final year and I was studying Fathul Bari. Fathul Bari. Now Fathul Bari is the commentary of Bukhari Sharif. And it's in about 19-20 volumes. But the copy that Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi Alayhi had, it was in 13 volumes. The print that he had. But full Fathul Bari. So he saw the student Fakhruddin Rahmatullahi Alayhi studying. So he said, Fakhruddin, what is your average study of Fathul Bari daily? Full-time student studying the 6 most authentic books on a daily basis. So he has to study for all these books. And a student, what is your average study of Fathul Bari on a daily basis? He said, 25 to 30 pages. Now only this story up to here is enough to astonish people like me. People like Maulana Ilyas Sahib, people like Maulana Tala Sahib, people like Maulana Javed Sahib, that during his final years, average he was studying only Fathul Bari 25 to 30 pages. So what about Umdatul Qari? What about the other books? Only Fathul Bari 25 to 30 pages. To study that book, to grasp it, only this was enough to astonish us. But Maulana Fakhruddin Rahmatullahi Alayhi said that he was surprised at Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri. Surprised, and he said that when I was a student in my final year, I completed the whole of Fathul Bari 13 volumes in 20 days only. In 20 days I completed the whole of Fathul Bari. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Sometimes just to find one item. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the student of the founder of Al Jamia Al Islamia bin Nuri town in Pakistan, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi, just to find one item. Sometimes you find a mention somewhere that this is written in Fathul Bari, but it doesn't mention the page or the chapter. So just to verify, you know, 20 volumes, just to find one item, Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that I went through the whole of Fathul Bari. So Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullahi Alayhi, when somebody saw him, he said, Ilamata, until when, O Ibn Hanbal? So Imam Muhammad ibn Hanbal Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, Ma'al mihbarate ilal maqbarate. I will go to the maqbara, I will go to the qabr, I will go to the grave with this ink pot. I will continue until my final stages. If I can remember correctly, I could be wrong, but I feel that I remember correctly. But the cassette must be available. Our late Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Desai Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, the last bayan that he delivered, I was a second year student in Darul Uloom Bari at the time. Second year student. Or maybe first year. The last bayan that he delivered in the Jalsa of Darul Uloom Bari, where Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi delivered a bayan, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi delivered his bayan, and this was his first bayan in the UK. So Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's first bayan and Maulana Ibrahim Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's last bayan at the Darul Uloom. And Hazrat Maulana Asad Madani Rahmatullah Alayhi was the chief guest. And if I can remember correctly, Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi concluded his bayan with a few duas. And either the last dua or one of the duas, the final conclusion, he said, Allah Ta'ala isi par hame zinda rakhe, isi par maut ata farmaye. These were the last words I heard from Maulana, because after that I did not have the opportunity to meet him face to face. I was a student in my early days, and Hazrat Maulana was teaching the students of Mishkat Sharif and Bukhari Sharif. But because my father and Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi were close to each other, so when I took admission in Darul Uloom Bari, my father had insisted that you go to Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi and you keep in touch with him and you introduce yourself that you are the son of Hafiz Ibrahim Dorat. And he will look at you affectionately and take his tawajju, take his dua. Yes, it was my first year. Because just 2-3 months after my admission, Hazrat Maulana passed away. So after this bayan, I did not meet. These are the last words I heard of Maulana. So I was telling the congregation, I think yesterday, in our Darul Uloom, or the day before yesterday, I said, he made this dua in his final bayan, that Allah isi pe zinda rakhe, isi pe maut ata farmaye. Yani, may Allah keep us alive on ta'lim and ta'allum, and may Allah grant us death on ta'lim and ta'allum. And that is what happened. Now, going towards Darul Uloom Bari, accident took place, and a book, I think it was book of Hadith or Jalalain Sharif, it was in his hands, and it was his habit. Those who travel with him say it was his habit that he used to study the book whilst going to Darul Uloom also. And when his body was found after the accident, he had the book on his chest. And I think the children of Maulana still have that book, and maybe the stains of his blood is still on the book as well. This is the zeal they had. Ki Allah isi pe zinda rakhe, isi pe maut ata kare. Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, somebody asked him that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to inform you that death is going to come to you at this time, which amal would you engage in? Now it was his habit that for 6 months he used to go for jihad, and 6 months he would engage in teaching and learning ilm. So which, on one side jihad, one side, these were his engagements of his life. Which amal would you engage in? He said, I would leave everything on one side and I would engage in acquiring ilm, teaching ilm. Why? Because there is no better amal to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in than ta'lim and ta'allum. So, our ulama, alhamdulillah, the point I was trying to emphasize is that all these great personalities that you hear of, make a list of the great personalities, and you will seldom find somebody whose life was not immersed in ilm and amal. Ilm, 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 ilm. The great names you see, they are all great ulama. Ilm, amal, ta'lim, ta'allum, ta'lim, ta'allum, ta'lim, ta'allum. From this we can understand how important this amal is. So the first thing I would urge all my friends to do is to embed and instill in your hearts the azmat, the greatness of this ilm. This ilm belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm of Quran, ilm of ahadith, and whether it is in the form of the Rusul fiqh, or seerah, or adab, or aqaid, or whatever it is, everything is derived from Quran and Hadith. So whatever is being taught in these makatib is nothing but ilm of Quran and ilm of Hadith. So instill this in your hearts and minds. And with that, instill and embed in your hearts the azmat and muhabbat for the people of ilm and for the places of ilm. Never let this thought enter your mind, oh, he is only an alim, he is only a maulvi, he is only a hafiz of the Quran. What has he achieved in his life? Look at his son, he is a professor, he is a doctor, he is a factory owner, he is wealthy, he has Mercedes. What does this maulvi have? Never let this thought come in your mind. Because if we let these thoughts enter our minds, it will be we who will have regrets on the day of Qiyamah when we will see the status of these ulama. And if we instill in our hearts and embed in our hearts respect and love for ulama, inshallah, despite not being ulama, we will be with the ulama when they are granted this status on the day of Qiyamah. We will be part of it. It's like me who have come today. I am the chief guest today. But Maulana Ahmad Sahib has come with me. He is not the chief guest. There are certain 2-3 other people who have come with me. They have not even been invited. Because Maulana Javed Sahib does not know them. But despite not being invited, because they have come with me, they will get the same treatment. It is for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba." A person will be with whom he loves on the day of Qiyamah. So let us entertain good thoughts for ulama, love for ulama, love for ilm. And I am 51 years old now. Not very old, but old, 51. So I can say that I have some experience of this worldly life. I have seen so many people far from masjid, far from deen, but respecting ulama, entertaining good thoughts regarding ulama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought ilm in their homes. Either their children became ulama and huffaz, or their grandchildren. And as a result of their children becoming ulama, the life of that person changed. And I am not saying this, my friends, because I belong to the group of ulama, or because I run a madrasa, and I am asking you to have love and respect for madaris so that you may donate towards my madrasa. No, I am not saying this. I am your well-wisher. When I am made to sit here, it is my responsibility to say only that which benefits you and I and all of us in the hereafter first and then this world. I am your well-wisher. If you desire that your children are safeguarded, ilm of nubuwah enters your home. If you desire that muhaddithin, and there are so many people whose family's history tells that not a single alim in the family, not a single hafiz in the family, and the current culture of the family also announces that no, not possible. But every Muslim in his heart, when he looks at ulama, huffaz, he entertains his thought that I wish we also had an alim in our family. If this is what you desire, then have respect for ilm. Have respect for the ulama, the people with ilm, the books, because they contain ilm, the students, because they are in search of ilm, and madaris. Have respect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely elevate you. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi was performing wudu once on a stream. And another layman, he came to perform wudu and he also sat down beside Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, keeping a little bit of distance between him and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. Not a very religious person. And just before dipping his hands into the stream, a thought occurred. And he moved away. And he sat on the right hand side of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, instead of the left side. Because the flow of the stream was from right to the left. Sorry, he first sat on the right hand side, and then he moved and he sat on the left hand side. Somebody saw this person after his death. He was in Jannah. So this person said, "What are you doing in Jannah? You in Jannah?" He said, "Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted one amal of mine and forgave me." One amal. What was that amal? He said, "One day I went to perform wudu and I sat on the right hand side of Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. Just before dipping my hand into the stream, I thought to myself that I am a filthy person. And if I dip my hands into the stream and start performing wudu, then my used water will go to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi. And it does not befit me to do that. It's better for me that I sit on the other side, so the water used by Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi comes to me, and through the barakah of that water, Allah may have mercy upon me." He said, "Because of this amal, Allah forgive me." And support madaris as much as possible. Support them financially, support them spiritually through your duas, and support them morally. Financially, morally, spiritually. The first is spiritually, with dua. Dua is the greatest weapon. Thereafter morally, and thereafter financially. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant progress to this madrasa, and may Allah Ta'ala not make it cross all hurdles, may Allah remove all hurdles, so that the madrasa does not have to cross any hurdle. So have respect for ulama, and make intention, all of you who are here, that inshallah we will also endeavor to make our children ulama. I am not saying huffaz only, because nowadays the mahol, the environment is so bad that when a person becomes hafiz only, it is very difficult for him to safeguard his deen. We have seen the huffaz around us. After they leave madrasa, within 6 months, you cannot even recognize them. So try to aim for an alim. At least one alim in each family. You will not regret, my friends, for the akhirah. One alim. And I would also like you all to make this intention, that from today you will also become talib-e-ilm. Become talib-e-ilm. How? By enrolling yourself in Darul Arqam? No. No. Make a resolution that inshallah daily I will take out 10 minutes or 15 minutes to learn ilm. Either from an alim or from books written by authentic ulama. 15 minutes daily. If not daily, 15 minutes weekly. If not weekly, 15 minutes monthly. Is that difficult? Contact the ulama, Maulana Javed Sahib, Maulana Talha Sahib, Maulana Ilyas Sahib, your local ulama whom you have ta'alluq with. Unwieldy. But remain a talibul ilm. Whether it's on a monthly basis, weekly basis, you can also become a talibul ilm by attending the durus of the ulama. Now, if in your masjid durus takes place every day, then what is convenient for you? Twice a week? Thrice a week? Once a week? Once a month? Whatever is convenient, but on that particular day, the time that you have allocated, you should be a talibul ilm. Remain a talibul ilm until you breathe your last. What will Allah grant you? Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, I have heard him on many occasions and I have read in his writings as well that it does not befit us, the ulama, to call ourselves ulama. And he is a great alim, but he says that I feel embarrassed to call myself an alim. When I compare myself to the great ulama, I feel humbled. So he says that we the students, and all the ulama, they make dua that, oh Allah, keep us students until we breathe our last. What will Allah grant you if you remain a student? Ticket to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person passes away in the state of being a student of deen, so on a weekly basis you are a student or monthly basis you are a student, if a person passes away in the state of being a talibul ilm, Allah will grant him entry into Jannah, and the difference between his status and the status of Anbiya in Jannah will be only one grade. So the Anbiya will be granted the top Jannah and the talibul ilm will be second Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.